A wild weekend of baseball is all wrapped up, but it's interesting with all these unpredictable games and outcomes. The National League in early May looks almost exactly the way we'd expect it in October. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. This episode is being dropped on the, well, depending on when you listen to it, either the 8th or the 9th of May, depending on how quickly we can upload this baby. As you can see, I'm still having some tech issues with my video recording, for those of you on the YouTube page, but for those of you who are listening normally, here I am. I'm back on here. You may notice I'm not here with my good friend Miller Thomas, as we normally do the Monday shows together. We are going to do one. We just couldn't coordinate the times. You know, celebrating Mother's Day, everyone having a productive weekend. Miller and I are going to record later on Monday, and it's going to we'll drop either Monday night or Tuesday morning. Rest assured, there is no rift between Miller Thomas and your pal Sully. That's me. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Lockdown MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm on Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So, full weekend of baseball has come and gone. Lots of doubleheaders, and fortunately, all the doubleheaders were played. Hey, let's talk about something that may not be the biggest headline, but the fact of the matter is the Seattle Mariners stopped a six-game skid. They had a late rally. They tied the game in the ninth inning, and they wound up winning it. It was an Abraham Toro hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning, make it extra innings. Then Ty France got a hit, scored Jared Kelenic. The Mariners, who I picked to win the American League West, won the game. But hey, the more important thing in so many ways, yes, the Mariners won the game. That's important. They stopped a skid. That's also important. George Kilby made his major league debut. George Kilby pitched very well. Thank you very much. He's one of the top prospects in the Seattle Mariners system through six shutout innings to begin his major league career. And the Rye native, who was the number 20 overall pick in the 2019 draft and became one of the Mariners' top prospects altogether, came up and pitched a dang well. 24 years old, out of Elon University, he struck out three of the four batters that he faced in the first inning. The Seattle crowd was going nuts, and there you go. Seattle Mariners reached down and grabbed someone within their own system to give him some help. And that was a big thing. There was a couple of walk-off games. Gleyber Torres, who looked lost at one point in this season, hit a walk-off home run as the Yankees won the first game of a doubleheader. They dropped the second one. But the Yankees, you know, if you get Torres hitting and Gerrit Cole pitched really, really well against Texas in the game one victory, that's a good sign for the Yankees, who are obviously playing wonderful baseball. They went on that great winning streak. They lost the second game of the doubleheader, but still, they have the best record in baseball right now. The Dodgers have the best record in the American League right now, which is pretty dang good. Now, something the Yankees should keep in mind, however, this amazing winning streak they have. They're 19-8, and yet they're only three games of the loss column ahead of Tampa Bay. Now, we all saw that Tampa Bay lost that game to the Seattle Mariners in the 2-1 loss to the Mariners, as I mentioned earlier. But the Rays are hanging around, and they're within striking distance of the Yankees, even though the Yankees went on this amazing win streak. Let's take a quick little peek around the league. One of the more thrilling games took place in San Diego. The San Diego Padres were playing the Miami Marlins, and the Marlins were winning 2-0 going into the ninth. Another well-pitched game by the Marlins. Rogers gave him 5 shutout innings. Bender, Bass, Okert all pitched well. And then Sulcer came in and allowed, say it with me, folks, a 3-run home run to Alfaro, and the San Diego Padres wound up winning that game. And the Padres are playing pretty well. They are a game and a half behind the LA Dodgers, 3 back in the loss column. They're won 7 of their last 10 games. And the Padres looking pretty good. Looking dang good. Meanwhile, the Dodgers are looking like the team I think everyone expected them to be. They swept the doubleheader from the Chicago Cubs. And if you're a Dodger fan, it's good news. Though, you know, in the nightcap, the Dodgers got a tremendous 7-inning, 1-run performance from Walker Buehler. And in the opening game, they got a, where is it? Did they not? I thought they played a doubleheader today. No, I'm mixing the days up. Kershaw pitched well the other day. I'm sorry, I mixed it up. There were a bunch of doubleheaders. I thought the Dodgers and Cubs played one of them. The fact that the Dodgers are getting good outings from Buehler, getting good outings from Kershaw, Dodgers in the middle of a 6-game winning streak and have the best record in baseball. We'll get to where the records are in the American League and the National League shortly. Around the league, surprise, the Red Sox got good pitching but couldn't hit their way out of a paper bag. Same problem is persisting. They're getting good pitching they can't hit. I talked about it all day in the previous episode, and it was saying they got to reach in and see what do they have in the farm. Get someone up there to spark the offense. See also the A's. Now, the A's wound up taking a 3-1 lead at one point, but the Twins scored 3 runs in the third. And then, you know, the A's couldn't score another run for the rest of the inning. So the Twins remain in first place. They're now 3 games ahead, 2 games in the loss column ahead of the White Sox, who have now raised their nose above 500 by sweeping the Red Sox. The White Sox are on a 6-game winning streak. Things even out. Things could sometimes even out. Going around the league, the Mets and the Phillies swept the doubleheader. Oddly, it was Max Scherzer who lost the game for the Mets in the first one, where the Phillies won that one 3-2. Bassett pitched well in the nightcap, and Alonso looked darn good all day long. The Royals and the Orioles split a doubleheader, 6-4. In the first game, Rougned Odor got a big hit for the Orioles. Salvador Perez got a big hit for the Royals. The Orioles won the second one. Ryan Mountcastle, surprise, got a big hit in that one. The Rangers and the Yankees split. The Braves clobbered the Milwaukee Brewers. Morton pitched well. And Adam Duvall and William Contreras both hit home runs. The Reds wound up beating the Pirates, a rare series win for the Cincinnati Reds. Colin Moran got a grand slam for the Cincinnati Reds. Something to cheer about. Something to cheer about. Jake Odorizzi kept the Tigers off the board. The Astros beat their former manager 5-0. The Guardians took a 4-3 game, came from behind to defeat the Blue Jays. Oscar Mercado got the big hit in the 8th inning rally for Cleveland. Meanwhile, the Giants, in a weekend where they honored Buster Posey, Mike Yastrzemski got a big home run. Juan Yepes, I believe is how you pronounce the name, for St. Louis, got his first career home run. Lamont Wade got a 2-run home run. The Giants, who are now 16-12, the Cardinals are 16-12. There they go. And maybe the most exciting game of the night, or the afternoon, were the back-and-forth game between the Angels and the Nationals, and it was not the Trout show, nor was it the Juan Soto show, but Otani drove in a pair of runs, and it was Anthony Rendon. Remember him? He got the walk-off hit. The positive thing for the Angels is Sandoval did not have his best stuff as a starting pitcher, but he muscled his way into the 6th inning. He didn't get bombed out. Patrick Sandoval gave the Angels some innings, and the bullpen kept them in the game, and next thing you know, the Angels won again. I'm telling you, I've been saying this. The Angels now have the pitching to go along with the bats and to go along with their hopes. And right now, despite the fact that Houston is in the middle of a seven-game winning streak and have pulled with even with the Angels in the loss column, the Angels are still in first and making a run to, oh, I don't know, maybe put together a contender. That's looking pretty good for them so far. And so, for that, I say, get yourself a Built Bar. Come on, Angels. You deserve it. You get yourself a Built Bar. They're the best tasting protein bar out there. And the best part about Built Bars, they're healthy and delicious. You don't have to sacrifice taste in order to get something delicious. Now, have you tried the Built Puffs? People are going crazy for the Built Puffs. They come in flavors like banana cream pie, even churro. Oh man, I would love a protein bar that tastes like a banana cream pie. And they're only 140 calories, so sign me up. They got great flavors. You may want to try the mix box with 12 flavors of bars and puffs. Built Bars make sure there's something for everybody. My favorite one is raspberry. I love the tanginess and I love the chocolate. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which is a candy bar. Go to Built.com to get all your favorites. Banana cream pie, double chocolate, raspberry, and so many more. They're all delicious, and new flavors are coming out all the time. Check them out at Built.com. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off at Built.com. Thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, recaps of Major League Baseball games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So at the beginning of the year, I said that the American League and the National League are going to be eerily similar in 2022 as they were last year. The National League, you had a bunch of good teams and a lot of bad teams. The National League was top-heavy. And there was you had a handful of very good teams, but the most of the National League was set for most of the year. Yes, there was movement in the National League Central, and yes, the Cardinals made a run for the wild card, but we were pretty sure the Giants, the Brewers, the Dodgers were all going to be in. And so it was really those two spots. It was the collapse of the Mets, the collapse of the Padres, and the run for it from Atlanta and St. Louis, but the National League was pretty stable. Meanwhile, the American League was going to be a wild scrum, which is what it exactly was. Keep in mind how on the final day of the season, Toronto and Seattle were still technically in it. And so you were going to have a little bit of chaos in the American League and stability in the National League. Well, look at the date right now. It is the 8th day of May, 2022. And we are seeing right now, even though there is like, what, 140, 130 games left to play, it's kind of like when they get the early results from an election when everyone knows how that state is going to vote. The American League is already a little bit of chaos. You have some teams you didn't expect to be at the top. The Yankees, well, some people picked them. I personally didn't pick them to win the division or make the playoffs for that matter because I didn't trust their pitching. But here we are about 30 games into the season, a little less than 30 games into the season, and the Yankees are making me eat crow. The Yankees pitching staff has been very good, thank you very much. And all the aspects of the Yankees have been firing on all cylinders, and they've been playing very good baseball. You got to give credit where credit is due. I trashed the Yankees all off season, but they're playing well, and you can't deny that. So, yeah, you got the Yankees at the top. But I think most people would have picked Toronto or Tampa Bay. And they're hanging around there, and no doubt the Yankees will come back to earth, and Tampa and Toronto may overtake them. Now, I picked the Minnesota Twins to be a wild card team. I did not pick them to win the division. As of this recording, they have a 3-game lead in the division over the Chicago White Sox. The Cleveland Guardians are at even 500, but only 3 back of the lost column of a playoff spot. So everyone thought the White Sox were going to win the division, including myself. I thought Seattle was going to win the West. They've had a terrible string on it. Right now, they're 3 games under 500. I think that'll be corrected. I didn't think the Angels were going to do anything. So far, they've looked wonderful. And then you have the Houston Astros, who are within striking distance and could very well win the division. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of teams that are contending, and there's it may be a little bit of a scrum, because I don't think there's any way the Red Sox are going to be this bad all year. And maybe one of the other teams that have a losing record right now could make a run for it as well. But take a look at the National League. I picked the Mets, Brewers, and Dodgers to be the division champs. And I thought the three wildcard teams were going to be Atlanta and San Francisco. And I think I said St. Louis. It was either St. Louis or San Diego. Either way, the Mets are in first, as I thought. The Brewers are in first in their division, as I thought. The Dodgers are first in the West, as I thought. The Padres are a playoff team as one of the wild card teams. And then there's a three-way tie between St. Louis, San Francisco, and Colorado for the other two playoff spots. It's interesting. This early on, you're seeing the National League is starting to unfold the way people thought. The good teams that people are picking are already at the top, and some of the bottom dwellers are already at the bottom. The one surprise right now is Colorado. Who knows? Maybe they can stick around, but they probably won't. And I think things are going to fall the way they're supposed to fall in the National League. And it's weird because, as I said, it's so early in the season, and yet you're also seeing what we all knew going in. We knew the Dodgers were going to be stacked. We knew that if the Mets stayed healthy in the pitching staff, they were going to get some serious wins because Showalter could squeeze wins, more wins out of a team than you're expecting. The Milwaukee Brewers are by far the most talented team in that division, and you know the other teams are coming into place. And so what needs to happen in the National League? You need to see some of these teams that are possible peripheral contenders. Right now, the Diamondbacks and the Rockies are overachieving. It's early in the season. They'll probably fall by the wayside. And there's a distinct possibility that by the All-Star game, we will know who all the participants in the National League postseason will be. We won't necessarily know who will be the division winners and who won't be. But the fact of the matter is, there is a glorious predictability that's happening in the National League right now. Now, that may not be so glorious for a couple of the teams. You know, I don't know who the Reds have left to trade, who the Pirates have left to trade. But what it does do is it puts a certain amount of pressure on some of those teams that want to make a real run at it. I think the team that's under the most pressure right now to go on a legit run is Philadelphia. The Phillies, who, let's face it, had a pretty rotten time of it against the Mets. Even though they did win one of the games, it was a 7-game comeback. The Mets, you know, then they beat Max Scherzer. So they go, okay, we have a shot to win the series. And they don't. Now, I know it's silly to say that there are must-win important series in May. But guess what? There are. If you are one of the teams that are on the outside looking in, it's clear who the good teams are in the National League. And notice when you rattle off the teams that everyone thought were going to be good in the National League, not a lot of people were picking the Phillies, despite the fact that they have the National League most valuable player. But they do have talent. They can hit, and they got Nolan and a couple other pitchers. Now today, the Phillies are off to Seattle. Flexen's a fine pitcher. He's going for Seattle. Suarez is pitching for Philadelphia. I'm not trying to say that there's a sense of urgency like the division's on the line. What I'm saying is the Phillies can't wait much longer to go on a big run. They're 12-16 right now. They're 4 games under 500. Okay? Now, how many games is that? 28 games out of 162. But that's not the point. Yeah, there's a lot of time left, but that's under the assumption that the teams ahead of them are going to fall. They're showing no reason to think that. Everyone picked these teams that are currently in front, and in order to get in and get one of your tickets punched, you can't afford to fall too far behind. You can't afford to have the calendar page switch over to June and have you say, well, we're sub 500, 9 or 10 games back, but we're going to make a run at it. It's important to make a run at it now, because then you may put that mindset, that killer instinct mindset, in this Philadelphia Phillies team. Because if you fall behind where everybody and their cow is not expecting to do anything, I don't know. I can't help but think that'll help a team spiral. And that loss that they had, and I brought this up, that's where they're up 7-1 and they lost that game. Then they beat Max Scherzer. They had a 3-game set with the Mets, and the only game they won is the game started by Max Scherzer. If they had won that first game in the second game and they beat a series against the Mets, that's something that you could build upon. But it's urgent. There is a sense of urgency for the Phillies to at least wake up, act like a contender. There's a whole other wild card spot that's available right now, but there are too many good teams. You know San Francisco is probably going to get one of them. You know either if the Mets win the division, the Braves are going to get one, and vice versa. So in the end, we are here in not quite the middle of May, and realistically, save for an absolute cataclysmic collapse, there's only one spot available for a team that's not called the Mets, Braves, Milwaukee Brewers, Los Angeles Dodgers, San Francisco Giants. There are five teams, barring utter catastrophe, are pretty confident here in early May that they're going to be playing games in October, at least one game in October. American League's a scrum. Once again, I think five games is going to be between the team that has home field advantage throughout the American League playoffs and a team that's not in the playoffs at all. But the National League is about one spot. One spot on the dance card. Realistically. Which one of those teams right now, do you look at as they're constituted, as they're built, and looking forward for the rest of the season? Which one of those teams, LA, the Mets, the Braves, the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Giants, which one of those teams, as they're put together now, do you think, I don't think they've got a good shot at it? Of course the team can collapse. I thought the Padres would win the World Series last year. They wound up with a losing record. The Mets were in first place in August, and they finished with a losing record. Of course, teams can collapse, teams can underachieve. Which one of those teams right now are you marking for underachievement? I made the plea for the Red Sox and for the A's to reach down to their own farm system and see what they got. Phillies, you got to make sure you do something like that too. I know it sounds like hyperbole, but when you're going into the season and you got a sense of what you're already doing, what the teams are already going to do, and they're doing it, then that means your only bet to get into the postseason is that final wildcard spot. And you better dust yourself off now, Philadelphia. Because if you fall and you go into June with a losing record, it's harder to turn that around. Then you're a real long shot, and who's going to bet on you? But if you're going to bet on anything, go to betonline.net. It's your source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, Major League Baseball. BetOnline.net is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, so we got a Monday slate, which is, of course, it's a getaway day for some teams. Not quite as crazy. The Royals are going to make up for a lost game, and they are going to be playing a morning game. Hey, we got morning baseball on a Monday. Hernandez versus Wells there. Another morning game going on as the Rangers and Yankees are making up for lost time. Gray going up against Nestor Cortez. Best mustache in the majors right now. The Dodgers and the Pirates are squaring off. Urias versus Quintana, and the Dodgers are looking to get their 20th win of the season, to win 20 of their first 27 games. The Brewers want to win against the Cincinnati Reds. Most teams tend to do that. Woodruff was my pick to win the National League Cy Young Award. He's been disappointing this year. His ERA is over 5. Nice pick, Sol. Good thing I didn't go to BetOnline for that one. Castillo is making his debut for the season, and he is basically on display for another team to acquire because the Reds are going to continue to dismantle the club. Blackburn's pitching for the A's. Pineda's pitching for the Tigers. Both teams are under 500 and not off to great starts. Kind of an important game for the White Sox, who have finally climbed above 500. They're going up against the Guardians. They're trying to build their win total and take on some of their rivals. It's Kopech versus Plesac. Two pretty good pitchers are lining up in that game. Watch it be 11-10. The Angels and the Rays in the all Joe Maddon, but no, not with the Cubs series. Noah Syndergaard wants to turn back the clock to 2015. And he's off to a good start pitching for the Angels. And Springs is pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays. He'll probably throw one inning and then be, parade of relievers will come out. Is that going to be a postseason preview? I don't know. That'd be kind of fun. The Cubs and the Padres are reliving the 1984 National League Championship Series, Gore versus Hendricks in that. I mentioned the Phillies and Mariners. The Phillies got to get their act together if they don't want to have a lost season. The Diamondbacks and the Marlins are locking antlers again, Castellanos versus Hernandez. And finally, two teams that are deadlocked in the National League West, not in first place, but in the standings, are Colorado and San Francisco. Carlos Rodon is pitching against Gomber. That game is in San Francisco. So, just doing a quick recap, giving some of my thoughts. And I hope to fix this video issue soon. But thanks for staying with us, and thanks for making us your first listen. You can follow us at Lockdown MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Check us out tomorrow. Millard is going to be in there, and we're going to be dropping that probably Monday night. Well, reviewing a fun weekend of baseball and telling the Phillies, hey, you better get going. This is Lockdown MLB for the 9th day of May, 2022. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.